This is Jeff Standridge, and this is the Innovation Junkies Podcast. If you want to drastically improve your business, learn proven growth strategies, and generate sustained results for your organization, you've come to the right place. Over the next half hour, we're going to be sharing specific strategies, tactics, and tips that you can use to grow your business, no matter the size, no matter the industry, and no matter the geography. Weekly, we'll bring in a top mover and shaker, someone who's done something unbelievable with his or her business, and we'll dig deep. We'll uncover specific strategies, tactics, and tools that they've used to help you achieve your business goals. Welcome to the Innovation Junkies Podcast.
Hey guys, if you're looking to put your business on the fast track to achieving sustained strategic growth, this episode is sponsored by the team at Innovation Junkie. To learn more about our Growth DX, go to innovationjunkie.com/growthdx. Now let's get on with the show.
Hey guys, Jeff Standridge here. Welcome to another episode of the Innovation Junkies podcast.
And this is Jeff Amerine. I'm glad to be back. We've got a fantastic guest lined up for today. You want to hear more about him?
Yeah. How are you, but before we do that, how are you doing? Hadn't talked to you in a few days.
Yeah, hanging in there. You know, semi-professional lumberjack work over the weekend to kind of cut up a down tree. Just a typical weekend, but
very
not
good.
Bad.
How about you? Very good. Jeff Bunyan.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right.
No, doing great. Doing great. Just enjoying the season change. Loving it.
Absolutely. And it's good to see the Hogs actually pull one out in the final minutes of the ball game.
And the Cowboys really laid an egg.
They did. They definitely did. Well, let's get to the matters at hand here. All right. Well, we're really lucky today to have Tim Clarkson from Live Anew on the podcast today. Tim has spent some 22 years in marketing consumer products globally. His experience is with two startups and one turnaround. He's got experience in reaching customers direct-to-consumer, mass market retail, Amazon direct response TV, and catalogs. And he's currently the CEO and co-founder of Live Anew. And Live Anew is a direct consumer adult diaper retailer with three websites and an Amazon business. And it doesn't sound like a very glamorous business, but he's venture backed and he's been doing a bang up job the last few years in driving that business forward. So let's hear more from Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. It's good to see you guys.
Good to see you again as well. It's great to have you on here today. We're gonna hop into the podcast here in a couple of moments. But before we do that, we like to always start with a random musing. I say always, whenever Jeff and I remember to start off with one of those. And at our age, sometimes memory is a bit of a challenge. But today, our random musing is, what's the most memorable college football gameplay that you can remember?
Yeah, for me, it was when Texas A&M played BYU in a bowl game, and BYU didn't want to play A&M because they were highly ranked and A&M wasn't, and A&M went in and just crushed the Heisman Trophy winner, Ty Detmer, and at the end of one of the sacks, his helmet came off, and one of the defenders picked up his helmet and held it up above his head, just like old warrior days, so that totally sticks in my mind.
Was that before the rule on taunting? Or did he?
Yes, way before that. Though it would have been worth the penalty still today.
Oh, absolutely. Very, very good. Very good. Jeff, how about you?
Well, I was sitting here. There's been several of them that have been spectacular. Some of them involved Arkansas. But I was thinking of one that definitely launched a guy's career that probably wouldn't have played in the NFL were it not for this play. And that was the Hail Mary pass that Doug Flutie threw at Boston College to beat Notre Dame in the closing seconds of that game. And Doug Flutie might be 5'9", if he's got high heel shoes on and not a big guy, but he had a pretty amazing both Canadian Football League career and NFL career, and even kicked a drop kick in a Patriots game some years back. I don't know what Belichick had in his mind to have him do that, but that's when he was with those guys. So memorable play, Doug Flutie, I think it was 84 when they beat Notre Dame. Last second.
Very good. I think mine has to be, and I'm going to go back nostalgically to the Hogs. 4th and 25, overtime against Ole Miss. Looks like there's no opportunity. Pass to Hunter Henry. Hunter is just about to get tackled, and they call it the Hunter heave, where he heaved a lateral pass. And I'm trying to remember, was it McFadden who lateraled it to?
No, it was Collins.
Was Collins. That's right. So he laterals the pass. Collins takes it, and the rest is history. So,
yeah, and that play was spectacular because it wasn't like it was thrown to him.
No, it was literally a Hunter heave,
and Collins got it on the bounce and ended up making the first down, and that was it. Pretty amazing. Anyway, college football season, right?
Oh yeah, very good. Well, let's hop into our podcast, Tim, and we're going to talk a little bit about innovation and live anew. But first of all, tell us a little bit about you. We gave a short bio, but you can fill in some blanks. A little bit about you and how you came to launch Live Anew.
Yeah, that was just kind of a strange circumstance. I was having lunch with my now business partner, and we were just meeting for lunch. And when he arrived at lunch, he said, I was just listening to Bloomberg Radio and heard the craziest statistic is that in Japan, they're selling more adult diapers than baby diapers now. And I said, you know, we're only 10 years behind Japan. And so we one thing led to another. We weren't even really looking to start this business, but within about 2 weeks, we had started Live Anew, and it's just kind of, you know, taken a life of its own over the last 9 years now.
Wow. Very good. Yeah. I remember when we first met you and you shared that stat. I've used that stat over the years, you know, and it's, I think that stat has resulted in the proliferation of companies serving the senior care market, right? I heard a stat not long ago that said 10,000 people a day turn 80 or something like that. And it's just projected to increase. So.
You know, without giving away anything too top secret, I'm just curious at how many deliveries you have on a regular basis to some of the inhabitants of the Capitol in Washington, D.C. You don't have to answer that.
Yeah, loaded question.
Yes. Yes, we do ship a lot actually to D.C. I do know that.
That's not shocking to me based on what we see going on there.
Yeah, no doubt. So let's talk about just the CPG market in general and you know, your kind of your view of innovation in CPG and then we'll bring it down to Live Anew and kind of the senior market.
Yeah, well, you know, more specifically in our industry, you know, which is, you know, the adult diaper industry, you know, that's the industry I know best. There hasn't been a lot of product innovation over the years. There's been a number of manufacturers try to do some small stuff, but it's, you know, it behaves a little differently. It's certainly a much more mature segment than, you know, the broader consumer packaged goods.
How do you see that changing? You know, I mean, do you see, are there trends or things that you see coming that will change aspects of that product or people's preferences and whatnot?
Yeah, I think what you're really going to see is more innovation outside of the product design itself. While we'll certainly see, you know, some product changes, and we've seen little tweaks. So, you know, for example, you know, some things that we try to do are different, you know, tapes and fasteners, different shape, maybe a little bit more absorption, but those are very, very minor. And that's really what most other people are doing. I think the big change you'll see in at least our industry is going to be how people reach the customer. It's going to be more on the marketing side. How do you get in front of the customer? We've seen, you know, over the last few years, manufacturers, particularly out of Europe, acquire, you know, companies like us to reach customers. So that's going to be where the big innovation is going to come, is going to be on the marketing side. How do you get in front of those customers? How do you convert those customers? And then how do you retain those customers?
I'd be curious to know, you know, talking about getting in front of your customers, when you're serving the senior market, you know, some of those will be online, but probably a large portion of them are not. Mm-hmm. What have been some of your major learnings that you've had over the course of the last 9 years of accessing the market that you're trying to get in front of?
Yeah, so there's a couple big observations we've had. One is we really have two different customers. So we have the person that's suffering from incontinence, and they could be a young person. We have a lot of young people as well as middle-aged people. But specifically around the older person, they may buy the products for themselves, but we certainly see a lot of their caregivers, which is typically one of their own adult children buying. So that's been an interesting, you know, challenge. How do you market to, you know, both the end user and their adult children, and very different age groups, very different lifestyle stages. And then we've tried all sorts of things, and that's where one of our biggest or most of our biggest innovations have come, is really trying to find how to reach customers. So when we first started the business, we did a lot of print advertising, a lot of magazines, a lot of direct mail, a lot of inserts to with catalog partners. And those worked really well to reach the older demographic. But we have seen over the last number of years, the number of older people get online. So what we're really seeing is somebody that's, let's say, 70, that's been online for, you know, a long, long time, you know, most, a lot of their adult life, starting to age and need our products. And so they're still online. So we spend most of our time and effort focused on customers online now.
Yeah, I didn't think about that when I asked that question. So 9 years ago, you were having to target a bunch of people who hadn't spent a decade online, right? Who maybe have not been online at all. Now you have an aging population who've spent the better part of the last 10 to 20 years in some shape, form, or fashion online.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And even with their, you know, their adult children, we're targeting them differently. It used to be we could reach, let's say, you know, you had somebody that's in their 70s or 80s and their adult daughter is buying products for them. So we would reach her on Facebook. Now we're even going into more things like, you know, TikTok and Instagram, you know, different ways to reach that group, because they've aged with those products already in place.
Hey folks, we'll be right back with the episode, but first we want to tell you about a limited opportunity to take advantage of our strategic growth diagnostic. For a short time only, we're offering a free strategy call to see whether or not our unique diagnostic tool is right for you. Go to innovationjunkie.com/diagnostic to learn more.
Well, and it, you know, it seems like your business was already set up and kind of resilient to the sorts of issues we saw with the pandemic, given the fact that it's a direct-to-consumer model. But what occurred during the pandemic that you would consider an innovation or a change, or just talk in general about how you responded to it?
Yeah, there were a couple really big changes for us that we had to be really innovative and respond to. One is we were preparing to launch our own brand right as that occurred. And so that had some supply chain issues right at that moment. If you think back to, you know, March of 18 months ago, and that's when things were really unknown and changing very rapidly. So we had to make some changes there. But probably the biggest change that we had to deal with was, if you remember back March, April, May of that time period, there was panic buying of household items, particularly things like toilet paper that made the news. Well, what didn't really make the news was that there was panic buying also of adult incontinence products. And so all of a sudden we saw our sales spike during that time with a lot of new customers that had never bought from us before. And they were buying products that we have all sorts of different types of products, but they were buying the products that they just typically pick up at a grocery store or drugstore, and they weren't going there. So we saw this big spike. So we had to respond on, you know, both the supply chain, and we had to really respond in terms of marketing, because a lot was occurring there. You know, just for example, you know, our advertising spend skyrocketed during that time because all these new people, the volume was coming in, which is a great thing to have, but, you know, it was a big change that we had to respond to quickly and figure out which was good traffic, which was not good traffic, what areas do we want to spend money on? Do we not want to spend money on? And then over the next several months behind that was saying, all right, how do we retain these customers once they get comfortable going back to their local drug or grocery store?
So it was definitely a time of high stress, I would imagine, for you all. And as a seasoned entrepreneur, I mean, would you say, an innovator, that this was a classic case in facing supply chain issues and the pandemic of if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen? Because this was not for the faint of heart by any means during this pandemic.
No, you're right. And, you know, certainly years of doing startups has helped, but we hadn't faced any of these particular situations. You know, the only experience we were really able to draw upon saying, okay, we've got a new problem. We're, you know, fairly creative people around here. Let's put our heads together and find solutions. And so that's what we would do is, you know, look at the data, find a solution, test it, look at the data, find a solution and test it, and keep just going through that cycle over and over until, you know, we found, you know, the right marketing spend, we found the right places to put our efforts and our time, found the right ways to, you know, reach back out to these new customers and communicate with them. And so there was a lot of new stuff that we were just diving into and just had to trust, you know, the process of test, collect data and make new decisions.
I think that's a key point. You know, we talk about a lot in innovation is this concept of test and learn, right? Test and learn, reiterate, test and learn. And, you know, a lot of times we go out and we go all out toward a particular idea or a particular solution, and we don't take the time to step into it, tiptoe into the water, test it, see if it's actually what we're looking to generates the results we're looking to get, and then come back and put significant effort behind it once we've at least partially validated its success. I like that approach. You know, we've talked about some of the opportunities and challenges with innovating to a senior market. For instance, the opportunities of getting in front of really two customer segments, either the actual end user or the caregiver of the end user. The challenges of starting out 9 years ago with a population that hadn't been online that much, and how maybe even that's turning into an opportunity now as that population begins to age. What other maybe opportunities and challenges do you see for other entrepreneurs in the senior care market that you could share?
Yeah, if we broadly define senior care as really anything seniors are going to need, there's a lot of challenges, but a lot of opportunities, and probably even more opportunities than we can even imagine right now. But, you know, the biggest challenge is one that I mentioned is that you end up with, you know, two buyers that you have to market to, you know, the senior and a lot of times their adult children. So that's a unique challenge. The other is the just basic lifestyle of seniors is changing and becoming much more active. So I think that's where the opportunity really comes in. Anytime you've got this kind of influx of change occurring in the market, it creates a lot of opportunity for those that are, you know, able to see it and execute on it. So you just take a quick example, very small example, is the example of pickleball. You know, pickleball is booming all over the country right now, and that came out of the senior market where, you know, they were wanting to be more active, but they couldn't go out and play tennis anymore, right? So they can play pickleball. And so now, I was just reading an article this week here in the city of Austin. They've now converted basketball courts and tennis courts in the city to include pickleball outlines. So that's just another example where the market is shifting. And I think you'll continue to see that where seniors are just a lot more active. You know, where it used to be, you know, people would move to assisted living or maybe before that some senior place, but even those places are becoming much more active. They're much more resort-like. So how do you prepare people for that? Well, I think there's, you know, probably products you can come up with to help prepare for that stage of life that's really doesn't exist, a more active stage of life. I think there's, you know, certainly physical products that you can come up with to help memory care, or, you know, one I'm particularly interested in working on for a long time and have not found a great solution is how do we get older people more active with better balance? You know, certainly balance starts declining probably in our 50s. And that's the number one reason people have to leave their own home because they've lost their balance and fallen and say broken a hip. So how do we keep them more active and keep them healthy by, you know, increasing and improving their balance? So there's definitely a lot of opportunities in the senior space, particularly as they want to be a lot more active and they also want to be at home, which has been a trend going on for at least 3 to 5 years now.
Yeah, and that trend of wanting to age in place and stay at home versus move into a facility has only increased significantly since the start of the pandemic, in my experience. You know, you bring up pickleball. I was fishing with a guy down in South Louisiana over the weekend, and he was sharing with me that he and his wife have begun playing pickleball and that it is the fastest growing sport in the United States right now, and they're traveling, you know, all over the southern part of the United States playing pickleball tournaments, which I have a home up in a resort community that's mainly retired people in the community. And I knew that pickleball was really growing there, but I didn't realize that it had become a national phenomenon.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And it's really fun to see that it came out of the senior space. Again, you know, they want to be more active and they want to be social, and pickleball is the perfect solution for them to do both of those.
And it's, wow. Forgive me, and maybe there'll be some of the audience that is as ignorant as I am on pickleball, but is it a smaller court with a wooden paddle? Is that how it works?
Yeah, so think of tennis, but you shrink the court. You have this wooden pallet and a little bit harder, definitely harder ball that doesn't bounce as much. And so you end up playing closer to the net and have more kind of volley type. Tennis would be a volley, but have more simple net volleys and simple scoring. So you don't have to run a lot. You don't have to make sudden stops. And you don't have to, probably most importantly, you don't have to do a lot of backpedaling, where a lot of falls would occur for, you know, an older demographic. And so and then you got four people on the court, you have tournaments, so it's a very, very social event and activity for people.
Very cool. I saw that what looked like miniature tennis courts going in out at a place called JJ's in Northwest Arkansas, and I thought, what in the world? I had no idea. That clears it up for me. I got to get caught up with the times. I guess I'm just right below that target market for playing pickleball. I better get busy.
Well, that's interesting to have a pickleball, one of the fastest growing in the aging population, at a brewery.
Absolutely. Yeah. Rest assured, that crew at JJ's will figure out how to make that into a drinking game.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I you know, Conway Regional, the fitness center here, has begun remarking some of their courts for pickleball. And I know up in Fairfield Bay, they've been remarking all of their tennis courts for pickleball. So it's kind of a dual purpose court with pickleball lines versus so that's amazing.
Yeah, and men and women can play it together, different age groups can play it together, so it's ends up being a really remarkable social activity.
So Tim, tell us what's next down the line, given some of these changing market dynamics and some of these trends we've talked about. What's next down the line for Livinu?
Well, we're gonna, you know, continue our path of really trying to innovate more on the marketing side. We're always trying to find new ways to reach customers and build those relationships with customers. How do we retain those customers? So that's where we spend most of our effort. We have recently launched, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, our own product line. And it's got a lot of niche products in it. So we will continue to try to grow that while we offer all the kind of traditional brand names as well. But that's where our big focus is how do we, you know, offer a lot of different solutions to our customers under other people's brands and our own brands, and try to be a complete service provider for them, because there's, you know, a lot of people out there suffering with incontinence, and we want to, you know, come alongside of them and help them out as much as we possibly can by, you know, communicating well with them and offering them real solutions.
You know, a follow up to that, given that you've had success with direct marketing and this sort of direct to consumer model, if you were to give advice to others that are looking to jump into or expand into a direct to consumer model, what sort of advice would you give those people that want to get into that omni-channel space, or maybe you want to exclusively build a model around direct to consumer?
Yeah, it's interesting you ask that, because I get a lot of young entrepreneurs coming to me, or, you know, people that have a product idea, or maybe even a product that's already out in the market, and they'll come to me saying, listen, you know, I'm selling it through retail, I'm going through, you know, whether it's local retailers or some sort of national chain, and, you know, my margins take such a big hit because those retailers want a big chunk of the margins. You know, I want more of that margin for myself. And so my first piece of advice is, going direct to the consumer is typically very expensive because you have to acquire that customer. The nice piece of working with a nice part of working with a big retailer is the retailer generates the traffic. You just have to have shelf space in there. So now if you're going to go direct to the consumer, you have to generate that traffic, to your website or to your Amazon site, wherever it may be. And that takes a lot of effort and it takes a lot of money to do that. Now, once you get good at it, that's where the next piece of advice comes in, is you've got to test, look at the data and make decisions and then move, increase that spend or use that channel more, or you've got to cut that spend quickly and figure out what your next test is going to be, because the market's always changing, the technology's changing, so the way people are communicating is changing, and so our marketing response has to change. And so it's just constant test, collect data, make decisions, test, collect data, make decisions, and get that marketing spend per acquisition down to where you can run a profitable business.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Tim Clarkson. Tim is the CEO and co-founder of Live Anew, serving the adult senior care market. And Tim, it's great having you with us today. We appreciate you taking the time to join us.
No, thank you.
Well, keep innovating. I know there's lots of opportunity in the market space that you're in, and I look for great things from you and Live Anew in the future.
Great. Well, thank you, gentlemen. It's been great being here and joining you guys.
Thanks for coming on.
This has been another episode of the Innovation Junkies podcast. Thank you for joining.
Hey, folks, this is Jeff Amrine. We want to thank you for tuning in. We sincerely appreciate your time. If you're enjoying the Innovation Junkies podcast, please do us a huge favor. Click the subscribe button right now and please leave us a review. It would mean the world to both of us. And don't forget to share us on social media.